We thank you for what you've given for us. When I was young, I would go to Good Friday service and I would sometimes walk away feeling guilty, like Jesus suffered so much for me. And if you look at that crown of thorns as you were coming in, or the whip that had the little stones and pieces of glass on the end of it, and I would feel bad. I would be like, I don't understand why he did that. I never asked him to do that for me. But now that I'm older, I see it so differently. I hurt that he hurt, but I see that it was surrounded in love. And so I feel immense love that he gave his life away for us. We're getting ready to approach the table of communion where we'll commemorate the Last Supper. And as we do that, I want to remind you of something I've shared with you before that I think bears repeating. When Jesus sat down with his disciples at the table and he said to them, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant." That was very significant because in Jesus' day, when there was a Jewish wedding that would take place, the groom and the father would meet together and they would kind of hash out the deals of the covenant. They would say, "This is what is going to happen and this is what is going to happen." And they would kind of get all that worked out. Then they would invite the bride to come in. And the bride would come in, and the father of the bride would say, "This cup represents the new covenant." And she had a choice at that point. She could either accept that juice or that wine, and that was her way of saying, "Yes, I will agree to marry him. I'll accept the terms of the covenant." Or she could say, "No, thank you," and walk out of the room. And that was her way of saying no. And every time I take communion, I think of that. And I remind myself that when I take communion, I'm agreeing to the terms of his covenant. I heard something today that was so interesting. It said, believing in what Jesus did for you doesn't require stupidity. It requires humility. And that makes it hard, doesn't it? But what I'd like for us to do today is just come like a family and gather around the table of communion. And we're going to take it standing here all together. So come and get your cracker and your juice. And we're going to all stand right around this table. Okay? Crackers are too big, you can break one in half and give it to someone close by. There's lots of room over here. That's good. Come on closer in, guys. Would you move in like this way? That's perfect. So some people can join us. Go ahead. Yep. Just getting ready to move it. One more there. Can you see it? Lots of room up here if we want to come on and squeeze in. Perfect. We don't have to be a single file circle. We can be a multiple file circle. Yeah, that's good. Sure. there's something holy about standing by each other, isn't there? There's something sacred about gathering around a table and partaking together. Has everyone been served? As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." Let's take the bread together. Took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." God, I thank you for this juice and what it represents. I thank you because of this juice, I am free from the power of sin. I am free from the record of sin. And I'm free from the bondage of sin. And we accept the terms of your covenant. We fully embrace the terms of your new covenant. Let's take the juice. Can move back to your seats. I heard this week that the juice that we just took gave us entrance into heaven, but the bread that we just ate gave us ability to bring heaven to earth. Isn't that good? That's really good. Jesus took care of all of it. He took care of all of it. The entrance and life here on earth. Just want to finish the service today by reading from Isaiah 53. It's says this, just if you want to, close your eyes and let these words penetrate into your spirit. Or if you want to follow along in your Bible, I'm starting in verse 2, Isaiah 53, verse 2. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Think about that. When his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. And this is the verse that got me most of all. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. Suffering wasn't for the sake of suffering. Suffering was a means to an end. And we just read it. When his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied, for he will bear all of their sins. God, I thank you for this holy few moments we've had to remember your sacrifice. And God, I just want to partner with you in the way your son sees your sacrifice. I want to partner with you and be satisfied by what you accomplished, and to recognize the great gift we get to live under because of your sacrifice. I pray that you would go with us as we go home tonight, and that you would cause us to be able to meditate on how satisfied you are by what was accomplished. How much joy you have at what was accomplished. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a good evening.